What is up? Welcome to episode number 210 of On the Corner, the official PitcherList.com podcast. I'm your host, Alex Fast, joined as always by the freshly cut Nick Pollock.
What is happening? Yeah, I finally got a haircut. It was getting way too much.
It looks great.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
You got a great top of your head.
It's like yours could be a wig, but it's not.
Okay.
That's how good. That's what I'm saying. It's like people look at your hair and be like, man, how do you make it like that?
Yeah. Of all the compliments I mean. I've ever received about my hair, that might have been one of the more bizarre
that
ones.
I see that, like, you want hair that's like pristine.
Yeah. Don't say that in a date.
Yeah,
you know, hey, your hair looks great. Is that a wig?
I knew you'd understand the positive nature of it. It looks wonderful.
Oh, man. Now, what we just talked about is the biggest reason you should be joining PL Plus, because conversations like this happen all of the time. You should be checking out the First Pitch podcast, which is going to wrap up this weekend. A big thank you to Jonathan Metzler and Scott Chu for covering it this
absolutely.
Past weekend.
Yeah, they did a great job.
They did a great job. Now, I don't want to say anything yet, but there is likely going to be a big announcement about how you can join PL Plus coming up soon, definitely by next Monday.
Yes, we normally do a... well, last year, if you're a part of it, I got to announce all the games. I just sat there inside of PL Plus and announce all of them while everyone watched these playoff games together. We're going to be doing that again, and we're going to make it easier for you to join PL Plus for the month of October. So hopefully you want to be a part of that. It's a super fun time.
The best thing about PL Plus is like having... So it seems so obvious, is having a community of people to freak out with things about. You know what I mean? You know,
right.
Right now you're quarantining, you're sitting at home, like you're watching, you know, I'm sure maybe your friends are into the sports team that you're into, but sometimes it's rare to find a friend who's into every single baseball team.
Right.
So it's really nice to be able to have a place where it's like, hey, is anyone watching this like White Sox Twins game right now? It's like absolutely amazing.
And we're watching all of them.
We're watching all of them. So you're always going to have someone to talk to about it. I felt that way this past weekend with the Ravens. It was like, I don't have a lot of friends who are Ravens fans. It's kind of lonely. You know, you watch a game by yourself and you get really excited and you've got no one to talk to, and my wife's like, please stop yelling. With that said, you should be checking out QB List, especially absolutely. On Thursdays with the sit or start. That article is fantastic. That team is crushing it right now. All of those vowels and syllables into one big word. Nick, the people are dying to know. Saints Raiders tonight. Who are you taking?
What's happening tonight?
That's tonight. That's in about 2.5 hours.
Wow. Obviously the Saints. It's not even close, guys.
Obviously the Saints.
Of course. Yeah. And did the Ravens win? I imagine they did. You seem like in decent spirits.
Yeah, exactly. They did win. I'm in decent spirits. They looked great. Lamar looked pretty good.
It was under 20 points for me. Is this?
I can get behind that. Anytime you even bring up Lamar, I'll be happy. But the last thing I think people want to know is Thursday night is Dolphins v. Jaguars, 1-1 versus 0-2 in the Dolphins. Who's walking away? Are the Jaguars walking away 2-1 or the Dolphins going 0-3?
Sure, it's Minshew. Okay, this is it. I'm not going to allow this anymore.
Well, you said I'm surprised.
Minshew, yeah.
Minshew,
yeah, you know. Minshew in
and the
victory
truth
for them.
Is...
Okay.
That I meant you.
Okay, we're moving on.
All right, so today we're going to be talking about the final week. You remember the song I'm talking about? That's great.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to be talking about the final week. We're going to be doing a day-by-day breakdown of all the storts. Storts. We're talking about all those storts. We're talking about it's your final week. You're in your playoffs. We hope you're going to win, or maybe you're doing DFS. I don't know what it is, but we're going to break down every single start from every single day. We're going to leave out the obvious boys. We're not going to talk about Sonny Gray. We're not going to talk about Shane Bieber. You're starting him. What's the point? If you need more affirmation, you can check out the fantastic list that Nick put out today, analyzing every starting pitcher's final starts of the year with these fantastic bags of Skittles, these color codes that are crushing.
Yeah, Skittles are back.
The Skittles are back and better than ever. They're back and better than ever. Now, I want to jump right into this, okay? Now, there's an important strategy coming into this week, and I think it's important that we talk about this before we really dive in. We really don't know theoretically who's going to start at the end of the week, right?
Yeah.
Or is it like our guys, usually guys are like, they've had a big workload. They don't need to make their last start. This is going to be their last start on Monday or whatever. But we really don't need to worry about that because workloads are not bad because of COVID. So maybe guys are going to get that start. I personally, in weeks like this, like to focus more on the beginning of the week or like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because I'm worried more about who's going to be available Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Are you worried about that at all?
So there are certain guys that are not there on Sunday, like Gerrit Cole could theoretically get it, but we don't expect him to because the Yankees are going to be setting up their playoff rotation. I put Shane Bieber there, and I probably shouldn't have, but they have so many good options that theoretically they could not hold off from starting Shane Bieber. He's there on Sunday. He likely, if I had to be a betting man, I'd say probably he won't make that one. Jose Barrios is also going on Sunday, and we'll talk more about that when we go through the entire slate for Sunday. But yeah, there is a chance that the Barrios doesn't get it. But then again, Kenta Maeda would be the game one guy. So maybe Barrios can sneak that in. We'll see. And by the way, did you know, Fast, as of today, guess who the Twins will be facing in the first round?
Please tell me it's the Yankees.
It is the Yankees.
Yeah, go figure.
Isn't that just...
That's so bizarre.
It's cruel.
Yeah, it is kind of cruel. It is kind of cruel. I hope this is the year the Twins finally do it.
I do not share that sentiment, Fast.
Okay, that's fine.
You know,
I will say that, like, I'm curious to see how these rotations shake out, because I think a lot of teams don't really care about seeding as much right now.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I think, like,
you're the Twins.
Except if you're the Twins. Yeah, exactly. But I think a lot of them are like, cool, I'm in the playoffs.
Right.
Like,
all three game series to start. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Which
it's
just crazy. Essentially means, like, to clarify that, if the Indians need to win and it means they're the 3 seed versus the 4 seed, I don't think they're going to be like, we're starting Shane Bieber. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That usually in past times it would matter more. And now I just don't, you know, if you're playing to get out of a 1 game wild card, sure, I'm going to go with my ace
to make sure
I don't have to play that 1 game wild card. Now it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And the AL, like, isn't the playoff race doesn't seem super exciting.
No,
it's
settled.
Yeah, it's like pretty.
Yeah,
pretty
it's only done. NL that is interesting at this point.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping the Giants can pull out and get an 8.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be a
Let's
lot
do
of
it. Marlins are holding on.
They are.
They're there.
The highs are high and the lows are low in Miami, and I really kind of dig that. I do dig that. Okay, so we got a lot to talk about. We're going to go day by day. We're obviously going to skip Monday because unless you have a time machine, it's not really helpful for you.
Right, yeah.
So we're going to run down this list. I'm going to start on Tuesday, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think we can both agree that both Caleb Smith and Cole Hamels going against Texas and Miami respectively are both sits because of innings pitch concerns.
Caleb Smith?
Yes.
Caleb Smith is kind of, I think he's all right though. He's above 60, I believe, at this point. I think it's closer to 70 or even 80 possible for this Rangers start. The thing is, last start with Caleb Smith, that his pitches weren't nearly as well-commanded as it was in this first start.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Rangers, though. And, like, I put him in that yellow tier of, okay, you can consider this one. It's a high upside play, and it's not one I'm jumping for. I don't think the floor is that low. I mean, like, look at other guys in this. Like, we know how low it can be for Griffin Canning going against the Padres, my God.
Mm-hmm.
But Caleb Smith, I feel, is a little bit higher than that. Yes, with Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels is still very much limited.
Yeah.
I feel more so than Caleb Smith.
I think Caleb Smith at this point is a 2-start guy, likely going to make that start on Sunday. And because they're already out of the playoffs and because they just acquired him and because he hasn't pitched much, I'd imagine he'd make that start on Sunday. I'd be more interested in that. I just think a guy who can frequently have command issues and is already on somewhat of a pitch count, next thing you know, it's the third inning and that one earned run just burns you.
Very viable. It is the Rangers.
It is, yeah. It
That's
is the
like
Rangers.
One of the best teams to stream against.
Yes, 100%. They are hot garbage right now. So I can definitely get behind that.
These accents, man, they're killing me today.
I know. Well, this is what happens when you drink a nice mocha before you do a podcast.
I was wondering. There's so much energy, Fast.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I gotta ramp it up. Let's go.
You're coming up to my level.
Here we go.
But I'm also kind of glad that we don't see we see eye to eye, but we don't see eye to eye. And that's nice. I like when we can get
because we're sitting down.
No! Keegan Aiken going against Boston. That's a start for me.
Yeah, he's been doing well, surprisingly. And it's funny because, like, Dean Kramer and him were like, who's better? And they've both just been doing well.
Yeah.
He's in that middle tier. I can see this not going well, though.
Yeah, there's definitely a floor there that's... We saw it against the Yankees, one out, and he got burned. I mean, if his command goes away, it's away. But there is enough deception there that... I think you kind of got to go bigger.
Yeah,
go home.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
The Red Sox aren't as scary as they used to be, too.
No, they really are not. Although what is scary is them starting Nick Pivetta. I'm not coming anywhere near that.
No, definitely not. I just want him to do so well.
No.
Just for all time's sake, Fast.
It would be the most 2020 thing.
Like, oh, Pivetta, I would 100%. Look, if Pivetta kills it and, like, defiantly kills it, I'm not talking like 4 innings of, like, no earned runs or something. I'm talking like 5 or 6 innings, 0 earned runs, 8 strikeouts or so. I'm leading with him the next day in the roundup, without a doubt.
I can guarantee. I'll say over under innings 4.
It's gonna be under.
Yeah, it's gonna be under.
I know, but it just if
I can't my brain, my 2020 brain can't even entertain it. Like, that's the last vestige of hope for some normalcy.
Oh, man.
Is Pivetta getting blown up? You know what I mean?
Well, no, we need to be excited about him randomly. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a good point. What about Adbert Alzolay?
Absolutely not.
Really? Going up against Pittsburgh?
No. He is like the most random raw talent, but not it's feral command. Anything you want to talk about his effectively wild, he's not even that effective. I would not be going after Alzolay whatsoever.
That's kind of interesting. I'm a little bit surprised to hear it. I guess you're not going to get too many innings out of him, too, in his last two starts. 2.2 innings pitched, 3 2/3 innings pitched.
Like it's also like he labors through every single at-bat. It's not just like, oh, you pitched 50 pitches. No, he's actually getting some sort of leash. It's just he's not efficient.
Yeah. So what about Kyle Freeland going up against San Francisco?
So it's out of Coors.
It's out of Coors.
Yeah, it's in an Oracle Park, which is better for Freeland. Freeland's been a Toby essentially all year, right?
Yeah.
So he also gets the Diamondbacks, I believe, as a two-star pitcher on Sunday, which is really exciting. That's in Arizona. So now he's two games out of Coors. It's not terrible. I'm kind of okay with it. And I realize, I think Fantasy Pros has him at like 60% ownership rate or something like that. So if you likely, you know, you could be owning and owning Freeland, I think you got to start him if you have him.
I actually go sit, believe it or not.
Okay.
Both starts in San Francisco this year were outside of Coors and they hit him both times. And
oh, really? This is his third time outside of Coors in San Francisco.
Yeah. And
oh, wow.
Each time he's gotten hit.
So more so why he needs to rebound.
Yeah, that could be it. Both starts were, I mean, he's not really.
That's a great point.
One of them was a quality start, but two walks and two Ks, which is not going to get you the Ks. I don't know. I just think that offense scares me still a little bit, which is so wild to say. And they're playing to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's wild.
So I will say this. If you have two starts and you got to say, do I do it or not for both? I'd say you do it for both.
Wait, what do you mean? Clarify?
Like if you have to get, if you're starting Freeland for both.
For Arizona and San Francisco?
Yes, oh,
you mean like if you're locked?
Start, yeah.
Okay.
I would take that. I would take both starts because the Arizona one, I think, outweighs the risks of the San Francisco one.
Yeah, I can get behind that. Cool. I think you can compile enough between those two starts. Definitely. I think we can both easily agree that both Reynaldo Lopez and Tarek Skubal are sits against Cleveland and Minnesota, respectively.
So because it's Minnesota for Tarek Skubal.
Yes.
It was interesting. His last start, it was like really good fastballs, but his secondary stuff wasn't that great.
I know. It's definitely one of those things where it's like, give me a Seattle, give me a Texas, and it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But because of that upside with that offense, just really don't want
to. He gets a really nice start, I think, for the turnaround on Sunday.
Well,
that you might want to consider.
I guess people will have to stick around and hear about what that start may be.
What could it be, Fast?
Who could it be now? Framber Valdez going up against the Mariners. That's a start for me.
That's a green for me.
That's a green for me. So what does that mean, Nick, for people who haven't read your article yet?
That means
what is a green?
Obviously start them.
Blindly start them. Blindly start them.
I'm sorry for all those that, you know, only have their ears.
Yes.
I don't mean to anyway, but still. You should be starting.
You should be starting Framber Valdez. Is Brady Singer on there? He is a blue. So there's only two people on Monday. I'm looking at Monday, excuse me. On Tuesday, there are just three who are blue. Blue is start these players, but they have a little more risk. Brady Singer's just been, he's been crushing.
He's been great considering that once he stopped getting elite offenses in the Twins and the White Sox, well, he's been doing excellent stuff. And he now gets the Cardinals, who actually haven't been so strong lately. I think this is an easy start.
I agree. I was thinking about Brady Singer moving forward for next year, right? And about the helium that he's likely going to get. And then also thinking about how he just sounds in the vacuum like every other Kansas City Royals pitcher. Wow, look at that sink. Wow, look at that slider, man. Oh, the fastball is okay, too. It's like, oh, hey, Jake Junis. Hey, Brad Keller. Hey, every pitcher that's ever pitched there.
Yeah, Danny Duffy there, too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm not too high on him for 2021.
Okay.
Because it's two pitches, and he really needs to lean heavy into the slider for it to work, which obviously we've seen a lot of guys do this year. I do think year to year, though, there's going to be times when you can do that and then times you can't. So I'm a bit out.
Yeah, so am I. Unless we see some development. I think, if I recall correctly about him, like, he just can't elevate.
He gets too much ride on his fastball.
He's sinker like slider, right?
Well, they call it a four-seamer. I want to say it's a sinker. It moves so much horizontally.
Savant says it's a sinker.
Now they do?
Yeah. Savant says it's a sinker.
Okay, then. All right. So he doesn't, it certainly rides a lot. That is a ton of horizontal break for Singer's fastball. So it's kind of weird to me. Yeah, the pitch is going opposite directions. That's good, but there's no north-south play for the most part there.
So that's exactly what I was talking about in this last podcast where it's like, guys, it's like almost like McCullers. I'm looking down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm looking down for a slider and I'm looking down for a sinker. So he has a changeup too, which he barely throws, but guess where it is?
Down.
It's down.
So, he's no Giolito with elevated changeups.
No, he's not. But the thing is, too, it's not even down and into righties. It's down and away. It's like what his slider is.
Isn't it weird? I mean, I think his last start, he only went sinker slider.
I mean, that's how he can be effective, but yeah. I just don't think we see any way, shape, or form a step forward unless he's like, okay, I'm going to work just on this four-seamer. If he works on that four-seamer up, that's exciting.
Sure. You can imagine my surprise. I got I read it wrong when I was looking at Singer before his MLB debut. I thought he was a sinker changeup.
Mm.
So then he throws 9 sliders in a row. I'm like, who is this guy? What is this?
That's amazing.
It's a really good slider, though.
It is a very good slider. Griffin Canning, that's a stit against San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego, you can't do that. I know he just did well against the Diamondbacks. That's the one we were targeting with it, as maybe this is a good place to do it, but now it's like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that against the Padres.
Jose Urania, obvious sit against Atlanta.
No.
What about Randy Dobnak against Detroit?
I know, he doesn't strike out a lot. You're doing this for ratios, but I think against the Tigers, he can go 5 innings and get you a win, and that's good enough for you.
Yeah, I think that's totally nice, and you really kind of want that at the beginning of your week, because then you can take more risks at the end of the week to get those strikeout guys. So I'm all about that Dobnak start. So Seth Lugo's interesting, playing Tampa Bay. He just got tore up by Philly.
I know, but he's not that bad.
No, he's not.
And I think people are forgetting how well he did before that start. I'm in for this Rays one.
I don't know. Part of me says, yeah, I got to take my risks early because of what we're talking about at the end of the week. But, man, there's so much of a room there. There's such a low floor.
Okay, so I have him in that middle tier with Lugo, Aiken, and Dobnak.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So everyone else we've mentioned for the most part, like Caleb Smith and Skubal and Freeland and Hamels and Canning, would you have Lugo above all of that?
Would I have Lugo above
or below all of those guys? Like Smith, Freeland, Skubal, Canning, Hamels?
Yeah, definitely above Smith, definitely above Freeland, definitely above Skubal, definitely above Canning. Yeah, above
Aiken,
all these guys.
Dobnak?
I think so, because they both have... Dobnak is kind of in a tier of his own just because he's not going to get you those strikeouts.
Sure.
Aiken, I think they both have similar amount of upside. Yeah, so I think those are kind of neck and neck, Lugo and Aiken.
Okay. I see that, yeah. I mean, I have that as 10 and 11 for me, so.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Now, we didn't mention Drew Smyly.
Well, that's because we're not done.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
We have more on the list. he's coming up, don't you worry. Frankie Montas is next.
Yeah, okay, cool. Man, what do you do with this?
I don't think I can start him against the Dodgers. I think I'm happy he's playing the Dodgers because, I mean, it's an easy decision. You said
right. It. So I have him in this yellow tier. Mm-hmm. Like, he's above Smith and Freeland and Skubal and Canning and stuff, which I think we can agree about. For the most part, they should be above those. Like,
yeah,
there's a chance that Montas does well here.
Mm-hmm.
The problem has been his splitter's gone.
It's gone. It's getting hammered.
You know, I see Montas on like a balcony with the curtains flailing in the wind as he has a lush robe, looking out into the distance and the leaves. Like, where have you gone?
Yeah,
my splitter. into the wind it goes. But I mean, he could show up. It could show up. I mean, look, he's actually been decent with sliders and sinkers.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to rule it out.
I just don't think, like, if it was any team that was not a top five offense, I would have no problem doing it. But I just think if he misses against the Dodgers, they're just going to hammer him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a ball to play.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's not. He's in that same tier, the yellow tier.
Yeah. I have him. It. So what are you saying? Sit or start? I have him as a sit.
Yeah. Everyone in yellow is a sit.
Okay.
So that includes Caleb Smith.
What about Stiebrel?
No.
Yeah.
I know he just did that ridiculous thing. Like, it was like 9 innings, 1 earned run or whatever. Like, what are you doing? I mean, I love for him because he's a cool dude. And like, I'm super happy for him.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is weird. This isn't what you're supposed to do, man.
I think we're all just waiting for that transition into the radio personality because he's very fun to listen to.
Oh, yeah. I had the fortunate opportunity to call an MLB bot inning with him.
You what?
There's this cool group of people that are doing simulated baseball games with MLB The Show.
Okay.
They have people come in and announce them. And Stephen Brault did a whole game, and I came in for an inning to join him.
What was this?
This was like in June or May or something like that.
I have no recollection of this.
I didn't really announce it much, but it was really fun.
Why did you announce it?
It just kind of happened. I don't know. It was awesome. He's a really great guy.
He seems like it. So for those who might be unfamiliar too, yes, as Nick just said, 9 innings pitch, 1 earned run, 8 Ks against the Cardinals. I don't know, man.
He goes against the Cubs. It's a volatile play. Like, yeah. We can't.
It's a trap.
I always want to say it's a tarp.
Why?
Because I'm a little dyslexic.
Oh, okay.
But it's
a prat.
It's a part of this podcast now. All right. Yeah, with Brault, it's like we love those ideas of that one really good start. But look at Brad Keller, for example. He had an amazing start, then it's not a good start. And this is what we recognize is the guys have a good night or so. It's why it's called a birthday party, right? And there's no understanding if that's really going to stick or not, unless they change something fundamentally about them. And I don't really think I saw that with Brault.
All right. Zach Davies is going to be a start against the Angels.
It's unbelievable what Zach Davies has done this year.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's like, I remember talking about this last year.
About Davies.
And his changeup.
Yeah.
Like, when his changeup's working, he can just kind of make things happen, but that doesn't always happen often. And then 2020, he's just like, I'm going to do it for the entire season. And it just has. I mean, it kind of still is a Vargas rule. Vargas rule is like 2 months long.
Mm.
And that's the entire season right now. So, yeah, you just go with Davies like maybe one last time.
Yeah, I'm definitely all about it. I mean, like you said, that changeup has a batting average against of 186 right now.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. He throws like 40% of the time.
Yeah, he throws
always in the same spot.
He literally throws it almost as much as that sinker. It's 42 and 41%.
I want to see an article about like all the pitchers who have decided to throw more secondary pitches than four seamers or sinkers this year.
Yeah, I mean, four seamers they have to be down. I mean, right. the league just getting wise to it. It's pretty exciting.
It's amazing. It's like really all across the board, fastball usage is depressed. It's awesome.
It is great because I think they figured out, hey, guys are swinging at everything. So if they're going to swing at everything, why am I going to give them my straightest pitch?
Yeah.
I'm all about it. Especially guys who don't necessarily rely on the velocity.
Absolutely.
All right. So there's a guy here that you really wanted to talk about. And here's why. Drew Smyly's been killing it.
Oh, man. 94 to 95 on his fastball now.
It's unbelievable. He says he feels like a kid again.
Yeah. His curveball is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm like, I put this as a yellow because it's just kind of like, that was a weird thing of like 3.2 innings where you got 8 strikeouts and 11 outs.
And then he did it again.
Well, that was his most recent one.
Oh, yeah. He did it before that, too.
Yeah, he did well there, but it's also been really short.
Yes.
And I was like, well, I don't know if I can get 5-6 innings out of Drew Smyly. But the second start, I'm in. But the first one's Rocky Road.
Mm-hmm.
So he's hosting the Rockies inside of Oracle Park against the aforementioned Cal Freeland. I think like this is one of the most sneaky starts he can make.
I 100% agree.
It's weird. I'm excited for it.
I 100% agree. You know?
I want to carry around my DS on my league.
Why?
Because that's a joke. That's a Nintendo DS fest.
Yeah. Drew Smyly, Nintendo DS. I'm with you.
We can do this.
I got there. the mocha is wearing off.
Oh, no.
All right. Austin Gomber. That's a sit for me because of innings. I don't think Gomber's
enough. No.
Same with really the remainder of these guys. Lyles, Roark, Voth, sit.
Yep.
Okay. Let's move on to Wednesday.
Well, Lyles is the yellow because it's against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
He's the last one.
The last one of the yellows.
Yeah. He's like the very border, but I can imagine a good day against the Diamondbacks is not out of the question for me. Brett Anderson's also kind of there against the Reds, but I mean, that's not a fun peak to go on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to your credit, Lyles' last start against the Astros was 7 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. So, I mean, obviously the Ks aren't doing it for you, but I'll take that every day. So if he can do it against Houston, he should be able to do it against Arizona. But it does seem like, as you said, there are some better options ahead of him. I mean,
I am going to say this. Voth also finally got swing strikes on his secondary pitches last time.
Yeah.
Not a start I'm chasing in the slightest. It's, you know, I want there to be at least a separation for those in deep leagues.
Mm.
The red is like, I don't care.
Yeah,
it's going to be detrimental to your team.
Yeah.
There is a chance that Austin Voth does something. There's a chance that Brault does it. There's a chance that Raylo does it against the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, that's what's sad is there's always a chance of the red.
Right, but like it's not like I have Nick Pivetta in the red, mm-hmm. you know? So I just want to make sure that there's that separation. Like Tanner Roark, in no world am I doing that against the Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, I almost think, though, that Lyles should be above Voth and Raylo solely because of matchup. Like, I definitely fear Philadelphia and Cleveland more than I fear Arizona.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But once again, there are so many other options above them, too. I'm actually kind of curious. So are you just not as worried about Cole Hamels with the innings?
I think that he can take advantage of it enough. Like, I think he can go 5 innings. We've seen guys go, like, 67 pitches. Like, last night, Lindblom threw over 5 innings on 67 pitches.
Yeah.
Like, that's possible.
And then they took him out.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. Whatever.
It's just funny to me. I guess it's counseling. He needed counseling.
Yeah, camp counseling.
Camp counseling. All right, let's move on to Wednesday. We're going to start with what seems like it would be an obvious sit in Josh Tomlin against Miami.
Oh, absolutely not.
No, you're starting.
No, I was like, do not do that.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
I was like, that's
a sit, yes.
Who is Josh Tomlin? Googling. All right, next up, I believe all three of these are starts. And Kramer against Boston, Eovaldi against Baltimore, and Plesac against the White Sox.
So Plesac is the easy green.
Yes.
Like, I don't care if it's the White Sox. Plesac is so good. It's kind of awesome. Oh, man, I love it so much. Now, Kramer and Eovaldi are the neutrals, or like the gray. because yes, Kramer has done well. Mm-hmm. Like I was really excited to see seven whiffs on that cutter last time. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this last week. Like his curveball, cutter, neither one was showcasing itself as a whiff pitch.
Sure.
I finally saw that. That's good. Red Sox are still kind of good. I mean, they're not as good as we were, you know, we just talked about that, but that's a little bit scary. On the other side of it is Eovaldi, who came back and like dominated for five innings against the Marlins. I was like, what? You're doing this now? I mean, you got low cutters.
Yeah.
Which he normally does like the high game of like four seamers up and then cutters coming back down, but then you got this cutter low. That could maybe work. I don't know, but you don't know with Eovaldi. Eovaldi, like...
You don't. I mean, I think it's important to see what happens over the next day or two with the Orioles offense, too, because they've just been awful.
Yeah, they lost Santander earlier on.
I mean, I think it's just Mountcastle and DJ Stewart kind of fell back to earth a little bit. They're just not producing the way that they were a few weeks ago, so I don't think the risk is as there from an offensive perspective, obviously. With Eovaldi, it's definitely
there. I want to clarify something. I know I didn't do the offense table this week of like red, yellow, blah, blah, blah. Ranking the tiers of it, the Yankees would be in the red tier, and as the Orioles would be in the green tier.
This is pretty much as we predicted, when we made.
I just thought that was fun. And
is it fun?
It is fun, and I will also mention that Danny Duffy certainly hasn't yet.
Oh my God, you're still on this?
I have a week, Faz.
You completely. There's no way.
Well, he gets to the Cardinals, and the Cardinals haven't been doing well.
Do you have the notes pulled up?
I don't.
Yeah, because I wrote Duffy sit ahem singer.
So I'm very glad to be wrong about this. He still deserved more respect than you gave him. He had a very bad start last time.
I got destroyed. He got absolutely destroyed. Just fine. So Duffy, are you starting against St. Louis?
He's a neutral.
Okay. To me, that's a sit for me.
I get that.
Castellani and Mize are both sits for me.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, they're in that yellow.
Yeah.
Castellani is, I think, better than I think people give him credit.
I agree.
Right? Like, he's had some bad matchups, and he's got to go to Coors and stuff. Now he's in Oracle Park. Not that great, but he's at least outside of Coors. I think there's a chance he does decently well. Same with Mize, who actually did okay. No, he got burned last time.
Yeah.
I mean, his splitters disappeared, too.
It's almost like it's a volatile pitch.
You beat me to it.
Oh, God.
Oh, that was wonderful,
I'm
man.
A company man.
How do I frame an audio file? there's no way I'm trusting that against the Twins. But I recognize that maybe there's a chance that he can perform. And he'd perform better against Josh Tomlin or whatever than that. Those guys are the red. Casey Mize, I think, has some higher chance of performing well.
Sure. Once again, I'm personally relying on the offenses of San Francisco and Minnesota again. Just scare
yeah, I don't,
me.
I don't. Oh, I'm sitting. Yeah.
Okay. Julio Urias against Oakland.
I'm starting.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. This one is kind of interesting because people are very in love with him, and I think they might not be anticipating that this could theoretically be his first real blow up in Sixto Sanchez going up against Atlanta.
He just got blown up.
Oh, he did.
The
That's
Nationals.
Right. Yeah.
So everyone's scared now. And the Braves are hilarious. The Braves are like, oh my Lord, you are the best offense. Clearly high for Atlanta. And then the Mets show up. And then they aren't. Like David Peterson and Rick Porcello have like amazing nights. I mean, David Peterson, fantastic looking slider, won the King Cole. Mm. And I wrote my whole thing like, why? How did this happen? Then Rick Porcello goes seven innings with 10 strikeouts against the Braves. So, I mean, here's the thing that I don't know. I don't know how to assess offenses. I think offenses are volatile, and you know, we can't just do this massive label, which I have to do. Everyone has to do, but it's hard. Anyway, Sanchez now gets the Braves, and I'm starting there. That's a start. Like, I think his stuff is too good. I know that he wasn't as good last time, and for some reason, he's throwing these sinkers, and his four-seamer is way better than his sinker, and he threw more sinkers last time than that, but... Yeah, I think he's too good not to. I know it wasn't good against the Nationals. I don't think he was as bad as that line suggested. I see your face. You're just
thinking. Well, I think it's that fallacy that we talked about before, where people see all the K gifts and they think like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, he's a gift king and not a fantasy king. Well, yes. He has been a fantasy king. Say for that national start.
I don't know if I'd call him a fantasy king. I mean, like, a fantasy... this is pedantic, but a fantasy king is a guy who's going to get you, like, 8 or 9 strikeouts in a game.
Okay, fine. Oh, he has done that.
He did that once.
Yeah, he's only had, like,
one game
starts?
Over 7 Ks. He's had six starts and he's had one game over 7 days.
I didn't realize he's been
You
so
have
long.
Fallen into the GIF King category.
Well, no, hold on. Hold.
He's got a 22% K rate, which isn't terrible. I wouldn't put that in Fantasy King.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then his ratios are fine. Obviously the 2.75 ERA is fantastic.
I mean, okay, this is where I'm pulling Fantasy King from.
Okay.
It starts before this blow, but 4 innings of 5 runs and 2 strikeouts, which were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what, the 2-point terrible whip. Okay. 7 innings of 1 earned run and 4 Ks and a sub-1 whip. Before that, 6 innings, 0 earned runs, sub-1 whip, 6 mm-hmm. strikeouts, a strikeout in an inning. Before that, 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 Ks, sub-1 whip.
Mm-hmm.
7 innings, 10 strikeouts, 0 earned runs, 1 whip. Like, that stretch of 4 games
fantastic.
Is just, that's Fantasy King.
Yeah.
And I know it's not the 30% strikeout rate, but that's Fantasy King.
Yeah.
Then he blew up. Okay.
I think his last 2 start, I mean, obviously 1 earned run over 7, but still 3 walks and 4 Ks, I just don't think is...
Yeah, right. So I understand the trepidation here. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I have him listed after, it's ironic, I have him listed as a start. I mean, if there's upside there, you got to kind of go big or go home. I think it's, you just kind of watch that start and...
So I don't have it as a green, though.
No,
I have
you
as
can't.
A blue. That's what I'm saying, though. This is like, so I have him in the blue. I have Urias ahead of him, but I have Carlos Martinez underneath him.
Why Carmart below him?
Because Carmart just had the Pirates and did not do great.
Yeah.
Then you have Dean Kramer below that, Eovaldi, Eflin, Duffy, and Minaya, like in the next tier. Like, this is the, I think that's the right place to put 6, though. I'm not saying it's a must start. There is risk here, but I think he's still worth it if he's on your fantasy team.
Yeah. Okay. What about, so Adrian Hauser and Matz are both sits.
Hauser, like, what is wrong with you, man?
I jumped off that train.
He's on, he's on that yellow tier, and like, he's above Trevor Williams and Ryan Castellani, but yeah, I'm not in.
So I don't know.
Yeah, we've been out of Hauser for like a month or something.
I never really was that big on him, but do you know what Sean Manaea's like game log looks like the past like 5 or 6 starts?
He's been doing great against good opponents, like not easy starts to make, and he's actually done well.
He's been crushing it.
Yeah,
yeah. So at Colorado, Houston, San Diego, that's a pretty good last
absolutely.
3.
Absolutely.
And then Texas, awful. Arizona, not great. San Francisco, really good. 2.45 ERA with a 2.63 FIP and a 7.6 K per 9 with a sub-1 walk rate.
Yeah, still on strikeouts.
Yeah, not a lot of strikeouts for sure. He's only hit above 6 once with that most recent game in Coors where he gave up
crazy.
His most earned runs. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, obviously it's the Dodgers and that's like, man.
Thanks, Jim Henson. Yeah, the Dodgers. He's in that middle tier because it's the Dodgers. And I could have easily put him into the yellow one because like, no, the Dodgers, just like you said before, like I'm terrified of the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, he's in a groove right now.
I think I'd personally have him above Duffy.
I can understand that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Duffy gets easier.
I put him
at
the one above.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, no, it's pedantic. And then I think there's a big chasm between Minaya and Barria.
Is that the second time you said pedantic tonight?
Maybe. I like that word.
Yeah, clearly.
And I often feel like I can be a pedantic person. But
3,
we need 4. To be. We need to be. What about Zach Eflin? He's a start for me.
He's the one above Duffy.
Yeah.
But he's below Kramer and Eovaldi for me. Eflin is the cherry bomb of this year.
Mm.
He's been so volatile, especially with that curveball showing up. Maybe today, I don't know. It's weird and annoying. But against the Nationals, yeah, I think you should probably start him.
Yeah.
But you know, he's in that middle tier.
I think it's a safe risk. Trevor Williams is a sit. Are we confidently, we're starting, but like how confidently are we starting Mike Clevinger?
If he starts, we're confidently starting him.
Yeah, I'm just really worried about that injury. It's just
I know.
Like,
what is that?
I know.
This has been like the worst Clevinger here.
I know it is, but it's also just really scaring me off for any future rankings because, like,
yeah,
how can we deny this injury history at this point?
I know. I'm thinking the same thing.
It's scary.
So where do you draft him next? I know this is really weird. I'm gonna have my top 100 way too early rankings next Monday, and we're gonna talk about those. Where do you think Clevinger deserves at this point? I know it's way too early. I mean, even before that.
No, it's called the way too early for a reason.
I mean, we're way too early before even that one right now because you don't have any reference point.
Yeah, I still think he... Is Mike Clevinger a top 10 pitcher in 2021?
No, I'm not going to rank him there.
You're not going to rank him in the top 10?
There. He didn't even act like it once this year.
No, he did not. He did not. Is he top 15?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I think there are a lot of guys fighting for the top 15 right now.
That is interesting.
I mean, I asked you, and you just turned this on me. That's not fair.
I mean, when I was started thinking about it, I he's to me one of those guys that, like, I'm just kind of considering everything that happened this year a wash.
Interesting.
I just think he never was able to get started. He was going to get rushed back from that surgery, and then he had the surgery at the beginning of the year, and I just...
Wait, so hold on. The comments you just made about his injury history,
yeah,
was that about just that start or next year?
No. It is about next year, but I still think the upside is there. Right. To be top 10.
Like, absolutely.
Because that's what you're saying. You're saying we never saw him be top 10 this year.
No, the upside's there. Mm-hmm. It's just about, you know, if you're drafting guys in the top 10 or top 15, it's about the floor that they give you.
Yeah.
Completely. And while ceiling is a major part of it, if they have equal floor, but the room is large with Clevinger.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a church.
It is scary because I feel like last year when Sale really sucked, we still saw peripherals that were like, oh, he's actually fine. At the end of the year, we were like, oh, he's fine. He's still giving you stuff. The first month was brutal,
yeah.
But then the rest of the year, he was fine. And we didn't see that from Clevinger this year at all. They're like, you got like fine ratios from him, but he was always like 4Ks, 5Ks.
Yeah, we had one good start. I believe it was actually his most recent start was actually really good.
Yeah, where it was 7Ks, it was like,
hey, you're an ace.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's frustrating.
God, I'm so not looking forward to ranking for next year.
I mean, you got months, buddy.
I got what?
You got months.
To do what? I got a week. What's going to change?
Well, to look at everything and take your time.
Yeah, that's true.
I got a week.
Yeah, that's... No, I don't know. I do not know how you do it.
I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be fun.
All three of these guys are sits. Webb, Anderson, and Fetty.
Yeah, well, Webb, I think... Webb is someone I've been, like, joking to be a potential Toby for a long time, and now he finally gets a matchup for it in Rocky Road in Oracle Park. Like, I have him as a yellow. Everyone else you said, what, Fede and Marcus Vicious and Matts and Jace Anderson and Wes Benjamin, no way.
Yeah, oh, Anderson's your lowest.
Yeah, he's going against the Yankees and like he's only been pitching like 3 innings.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully unless you're in a really deep league, you're probably going to be able to stream Anaya, you're probably going to be able to stream Eflin, maybe even Eovaldi, and maybe even Dean Kramer. So hopefully people won't even have to dip too far into those yellows.
I hope so. I think everyone there is at least owned 25%.
All the yellows?
All the ones you just mentioned.
Okay. All right, let's move on to Thursday. We're going to start with Alex Cobb and Martin Perez.
Only a Thursday? We might go a little bit long on this podcast.
Murder me! We're going to start with those two guys.
Never!
It's all right. Maybe in Among Us you'll murder me.
No reason to be morbid fast.
All right, I apologize.
Okay.
I apologize. all right, what about those two guys? Are you? It
who
seems
was
like,
it? I was ignoring it. What, so you the whole murder me thing.
Alex Cobb and Martin Perez, who are they're both in the yellow tier. You have Martin Perez at the top of the yellows and Alex Cobb. I have them both as starts.
Really?
I do.
Cobb, I mean, I know you were, last time we talked, you're like, look, Cobb had a bad first inning and settled down, and his last start was actually not so bad.
Yes.
You're willing to take a chance championship week on Alex Cobb.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. I still think that there's enough there with his splitter. I mean, if he did 6 innings pitched with 2 earned runs, no walks, and 5 Ks against the Rays, I think he's going to be able to
Rays
do
have been slumping a
3 walks.
I'll say this. This is the matchup of the night, guys. It's Martin Perez.
Yeah,
exactly. Alex Cobb.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, I'll take Martin Perez.
You're going to take Martin Perez?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
So we'll have the PL Plus community vote.
Cutter,
see which one is better.
We're not going to remember. No. Cutter versus splitter.
There we go. Changeup's actually been good for Martin Perez.
I guess the Orioles are really cold, but I don't know. I don't know. Alec Mills going up against Pittsburgh, that's a start for me.
Alec Mills, so he's in that neutral tier for me, which might surprise some people. But Mills, I don't really think is that great. It's kind of funny. He threw that no-hitter, I said drop him, because he was supposed to get to the Chicago White Sox, but he was pushed up a day, so he gets the Pirates now for the second one. I don't think he's that great. And he's in the neutral one. I understand the matchup. And looking at it now, I have Tristan McKenzie above Mills, and I probably would flip them because McKenzie's gained the White Sox.
Yeah.
And McKenzie's velocity has gone down a little, and that's a little bit scary. But he's not like a must start for me. I feel scared.
I'm okay doing it. I mean, like, he didn't get terribly wrecked by Minnesota, just 4 earned runs over 6, which isn't, like, awful. And 7Ks still, too.
Right. Yeah, maybe I'm just overthinking this with Mills.
Yeah, I was definitely out for that start against Minnesota, but I don't mind really doing it against Pittsburgh. He should be able to handle it.
That's very fair.
Well.
He's in that neutral tier for me. Like, I prefer Chris Bubich against the Tigers.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Chichi Gonzalez, obvious sit.
No, he's on the two. It's him and Fulmer.
Yeah, I was going to say
Fulmer every single time I write the roundup is just...
It's brutal.
Oh, man. It's like, come on.
Yeah. It really just feels like they're like, just go out there and try and figure it out, buddy. You're going to get it. Christian Javier, he's going up next. You have him green.
Yes. There's no reason not to start him against the Rangers.
That's interesting. There still is some, what if the command just disappears?
I don't love Christian Javier in the slightest.
That's why I was expecting to see blue.
Yeah, but it's just an obvious match. Like, if you're rostering Javier, you are going to start him.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Yes, I agree. We're good on Bubic as well. We both say start him against Detroit.
Yeah, that's a blue. I mean, for example, Christian Javier is 5 and Bubic is 12, but there's a large blue tier. Like, Bubic is the end of the blues and Javier is the end of the greens.
Are you at all worried? I mean, he's in the blue. Pablo Lopez against Atlanta.
I am a little worried, but he's looked a lot better the last two starts. The last start, changeups were down, and it was really good seeing that again from Pablo Lopez. I think it's a different time than the previous one against the Braves.
What's the inverse of a birthday party? Where you know he's going to give you 2 or 3 blow-ups to start, but overall he's pretty good.
An ace?
No. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be something. Because we know Pablo Lopez, he's going to have a start or two where it's, like, brutal.
That's a really... let me think about it. Let's go on to the next one. I'll get there.
David Peterson is the next one going up against Washington. You have him in that middle tier, which is...
His slider was really good.
So you're going to go ahead and say it's going to be back? So the middle tier is middling starts, mostly Toby, some with solid strikeout upside, hence the slider, hence David Peterson going up against Washington. So you that is interesting. I guess you have him above McKenzie because of the matchup.
The Nationals are good, but also I think you earned a King Cole with like 23 whiffs.
Mm.
Slider was absurd. I think he's in a good place right now.
Okay. Speaking of very good sliders, Chad Kuhl going up against the Cubs. Have him as a yellow.
Yeah, that's like the lowest yellow. Yeah. And oh man, his sinker's like 93 and change.
Mm.
This is a guy that was throwing like upper 90s.
Yeah.
A good pitch at all.
They probably just wanted to take it easy. They're not playing for anything.
No, it's like every game, it's like gone down.
Oh, that's brutal. He's a definite sit. Kwang Hyun Kim against the Brewers. For me.
Let's go.
Yeah, all about it. Robbie Ray against the Yankees. You have him as a yellow. That just to me, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Again, yellow is like I'm not unless I'm chasing something where like I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I would go with these guys. So Robbie Ray is like, well, that's an upside play. 2 starts ago, 4 seamers were, perfectly commanded. It was a great, and then his last one was like, oh wait, I forgot about how to do that. Hopefully he can come back here. I'm not ruling out the fact that like the Yankees can have a bad game.
Yeah,
they did yesterday.
Yeah, sure, but it's also the Yankees and I just don't trust streaming.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Patrick Corbin, I believe he's in the blue. Yeah, he's right below Pablo Lopez.
That's just a scary one though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very scary. I mean, obviously that velocity isn't exactly where I wanted to be. It hasn't been.
Yeah, it's above 90 now. Like, it's not underneath 90.
It's so sad that that's the basis.
But he threw too many pitches over the middle of the play last time out. And like, that could not happen again.
There's no point talking about it because it's also like, if you have Patrick Corbin, you have star Patrick Corbin.
Yeah, I know, right?
You can't overthink it. You just got to do it.
Cherry bomb. Let's go.
Let's move on to Friday. We have a doubleheader for the Rockies and Arizona. So the first two guys we're going to talk about are Luke Weaver and Alex Young, both of them in the yellow tier. So those are both sits for you.
Yeah, Alex Young, I mean, it's a nice thing, Rocky Road, but changeups and curveballs, like, hopefully they both show up in one game. We haven't really seen that. And Luke Weaver has just been... He hasn't really had his cutter. Without that cutter, he can't really do amazing things with his fastball and changeup. It could happen here. But no.
It's just sad. It's just sad.
Yeah.
It's just everything's going to fall by the wayside for him. And I just had higher hopes. Jorge Lopez, you have in the red.
Yes. No way.
I think, why no way?
Because he's fast. Because it was like last two starts.
His last two starts and also his movement profile is actually really good.
It's always been that way.
I know. Like, but so what if it clicks?
I don't think so.
I mean, man, those are really two last good 6-inning pitch, 7-inning pitch against Toronto.
Do you remember Eno's presentation in Arizona?
Yeah.
Where he's just like, Jorge Lopez was like, oh, yeah, I don't think it's Jorge Lopez.
Yeah, I know. I know, but I think there is upside there.
Yeah, yes.
I'd put him in the yellow. That's what I'm going to say. I'd put him in the yellow.
All right, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, I have Dylan Cease also in the red.
Ugh, yeah. Not.
Did you realize he had 7 walks and no hits yesterday?
That's insane. I just don't understand. Oh man.
Yeah.
Chris Mazza is a sit against Atlanta. Tyler Molly, a start against Minnesota. I'm assuming you're starting Tyler Molly as well.
Yeah, he's in the neutral. It's Minnesota.
Oh, hey,
that's a tough start. And the thing is, Molly, like, and when you talk about approach, you guys know me. I'm like, what's his approach? What's his repertoire? That's what's most important. I get excited every time with Molly. He's really doing the Blake Snell blueprint. His slider is looking great. Sometimes it's a little too low, like Tulowitzki, and it's just not, it's not enough. But, I mean, the reason why he's like this volatile right now is because when it clicks and it happens like 50-50 or so, like, it's amazing. It's really good.
It's fantastic. Slider's a money pitch right now. 20% swing strike rate, 51% zone rate, and 45% O-swing right now. Very nice. He's only thrown 45, which means that like 30 of them are great. Like he's killing it right now. So I don't know. I'm okay rolling with him. What about Antonio Senzatella going up against a weaker offense in Arizona? Are you starting or sitting?
I'm sorry. It's really hard to concentrate because you just made me so happy that I got to press that button. Senzatella, like, what is this year?
I don't know. Another trap for people to, you know, inflate his ADP next year?
Well, I think like it's, first of all, this is a start, I think. This is neutral against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Strikeout rate is like under 20%.
Strikeout rate is it's like 14%.
Yeah. I think he just had a strikeout game. It reminds me of like Derek Rodriguez.
Mm.
And now people are treating Dakota Hudson entering this year. Like, it's these guys that have these really good ratio years and no one cares. And you really shouldn't next year. Like, I don't think anyone is going to go after this.
I hope not. I hope people don't think that he's the new ratio king. I mean, when you look at it too, it's like 257 BABIP, 80% left on base rate. Like, both of those things aren't like screaming regression. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Even the 3.13 ERA and 4.34 FIP, that disparity there doesn't scream like, oh, he's abysmal. But yeah, like you said, he hasn't had a game over four strikeouts, since August 18th.
And I always have to call him Sensei.
Sensei?
Yeah, because he's Senzatella, right? Like, oh, Sensei.
Yeah, but senseis are usually like wise and cool. And
well, yeah, you don't want to sign up for his dojo. Like, he gives you like the discount coupon to join it. And okay. You're like, oh yeah, 7 innings of 1K and 1 earned run. Like, come on in, stick around. And you're like, I don't know if I should stay here.
Yeah. It's like kind of falling apart. It's like that guy from Napoleon Dynamite. It's his dojo.
Yeah, there you know what I mean?
With the roundhouse to the face guy. Dylan Cease is a definite sit against Chicago. Yeah. What about Spencer Turnbull going up against Kansas City?
Okay, fast. What? Turnbull is driving me crazy. It is.
I'm just looking for him on your list. You have him in the yellow, right below Heaney.
Like, it should be. When Spencer Turnbull goes four-seamer slider, he's excellent.
Yeah, the sinker again.
And he throws in the sinker all the time. And like, there was, I think, 2 starts ago, he had a terrible outing. Soon we'll have the ability to really just like have leaderboards of specific pitches and sure. Be able to like, okay, who ranks the lowest on sinker CSWs? I guarantee you Turnbull is there. It's like 18% every single time. But his four-seamer is like 37% thrown over 13 pitches as opposed to a sinker, 37 thrown. Like, what are you doing? So the last start, he finally goes like four-seamer and slider heavy and what you know has is one of the best starts of the year. So I'm like, okay. And I did this 3 starts ago. He did the same thing. And then he reverted back to sinkers. So I'm like so... like traumatically, you know, there's so much trauma there that I don't want to trust him against the Royals, but I'm like, you should be able to do this. It's like, you just did it again. Did you have a little mini experiment or something? Did you figure it out?
You have me very curious because now I'm looking up what his, what his CSW is on his sinker compared to every other.
And I'll say this. I mean, look, again, we are armchair managers. We're just at home, and I'm sure there's so much going on there. And this is probably the one that I'm like most upset about. You know, being like, if only he did this. Like, this is the only one I think that I'm really hammering in on. It's driving me crazy. What are you seeing fast?
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving you evidence that completely backs up your point. He has a 17.8 CSW on his his sinker.
What is that?
Which falls almost out of the top 100. So average, it looks like, is probably in the mid to high 20s.
My God.
For reference, the leader is... Who's the
Chris
leader?
Chris Bassett.
100%. Who's second?
Was Adrian Hauser, but it's not.
He's fallen a bit.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. Hold on. Kyle Hendricks?
Hendricks is not. He's in the top 10.
Okay. Who's number two?
Max Fried.
Oh, right. Yeah.
37.3%. But yeah, you completely hit the nail on the head with Spencer Turnbull. It is brutal.
It's so bad.
It's brutal.
Why do you do this?
Yeah. What about Jose Urquidy going up against Texas?
Absolutely. PD? Same thing with Javier. It's like, yes.
Yeah. Poor matchup. Same thing with Brad Keller against Detroit.
Well, no.
Pourquoi no?
because Keller can't decide what he's doing. You know, is it a good curveball? Does he have it? No. He didn't really have it yesterday.
You mean a slider?
Well, do I mean a slider? We don't know. It's frustrating. I don't know what we're going to get.
Is there any more of a matchup that will either win you or lose you your fantasy championship than Andrew Heaney at the Dodgers?
I know, but he's...
That is so awful that is the team that he gets.
I know. It's cruel.
It is.
And, like, he had the Rangers, and he allowed, I think, a home run or so, and it just didn't go quite as well as it should have.
Sure.
But he still pitched really well. And it's... Man, yeah, Coors, and he actually did okay doing that too. Just starts to go, and now he gets this, and it's just like, what do we do?
What do you do?
I mean, I have him in the yellow, so I mean, sit unless you want to take a risk.
I think you kind of like. I mean, it depends on where you are, I guess, at this point in the week. But like, man, it's a
true cherry bomb.
It really is. Yeah. It like really, really, really is. I do not envy those who need to make that decision. I went ahead and I said start, but I hate it.
Okay.
Sandy Alcantara against the Yankees.
I think you'd do that.
I'm with you. Start. I said start.
He's in the blue for me.
He's in the blue.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was sinker and four-seamer are doing such great work right now.
Yeah.
It's funny is like, what is Sandy Alcantara's number two pitch?
If we're saying that his fastball is...
Yeah, it's like four-seamer and sinker are separate. And then what's the best secondary pitch?
Four-seamer and... Oh, what's his best secondary pitch?
Yeah, like the number two.
I don't know. What is it?
There's a changeup and slider.
Yeah.
So I would normally say changeup. But since he's come back from the COVID IL, it actually really hasn't been there. But his slider was really good yesterday. And that's a real major thing. Like when we talk about guys having three pitches, it's because there are going to be days when that secondary pitch is not good. And you have to have another option to step forward.
Sure.
His slider did that. That was really cool to see. And so I think he would still have either one of those in the next one. And it's not like Raylo where you need both of them.
Yeah.
Like he just needs one.
And a prayer.
So, yeah, there you go. So I'm in on Alcantara. He's still throwing 96, 97.
Yeah.
98 at times. Like, I'm in.
What about Josh Lindblom of the Cardinals?
I don't know, man.
I'm going to start. Yeah. I believe in what I've seen. I think he tweaked some stuff. I believe in what I've seen in the past couple starts. I don't think he's going to get you a lot of strikeouts, but I don't think he's going to completely blow you up.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, Camp Council, we don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
He went four-seamer and slider heavy last time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's better, but it still wasn't that great of a result, even like leaning in on that, you know, and I don't know. It's just not enough for me.
His four-seamer is interesting. So it actually is top three or top, but definitely top five in Bauer units. So for those,
for those
who may not know, Bauer units just kind of normalizes velocity and spin rate. And it says like a ball spinning at 2,500 RPM is not great for a 99 mile an hour fastball, but it's really great for an 89 mile an hour fastball. And it normalizes that. So Lindblom is actually really good considering the low velo that it has. It gets a lot of spin, which makes it a little bit more deceptive, which I thought was kind of interesting. Mm. Brett Suter against St. Louis.
No, he's going to blow up Suter or later.
Oh, very nice. Rich Hill, Cincinnati.
Yeah, go for it. It's weird. Rich Hill doesn't throw 90 anymore. Like I think he averaged like 86.
The only thing Rich Hill throws is back out.
There you go. And his curveball doesn't get enough whiffs. That was well done.
Thank you.
He doesn't get enough whiffs on that curveball, but it's continued to work. It feels weird to call it a Vargas rule with Rich Hill. That's how it feels for me based on how he's actually pitching.
But also it can't be a Vargas rule because it's the last start of the year.
Yeah, right.
Year,
you know? Well, like, yeah, but it's, yeah. So, all right, he's got it right now. He's got a good matchup. Sure. Do it.
Yeah, I think that obviously there's a lot of volatility, but I would do it as well. So here we are, Rick Porcello against Washington. Can he do it again?
He's a yellow because I recognize that he can go six innings or so. What does he have? I think he has like 5.54 or 5.52 ERA this year. I wrote it this morning. I don't remember when it was. It's like, dude, come on. That was after. He has that ERA and like a 1.43 whip. After seven innings of one earned run yesterday, you know?
3.14 FIP, which is very surprising.
Really?
3.14 FIP. 5.46 ERA.
5.46. Awesome. Yeah. Close.
5.40 through 56 innings. Rick Porcello has a 3.14 FIP.
What's a K per walk? Is he not walking anybody?
That's the lowest FIP of his career.
What was the strikeout rate and walk rate?
Strikeout rate is 21. The walk rate is 5.8. So the walk rate is pretty much stable with what he's done the past couple of years. Whereas his K rate's kind of fluctuated up and down.
I mean, the 10 Ks yesterday did wonders for that.
Exactly. What do you think his swinging strike rate is though?
I'm going to say it's like 7.2.
6.3.
Oh, my God.
6.3.
Like, it can't be lower than 7.
That is his lowest since... That's his lowest in a decade.
All right. So that's got to be like sinkers, called strikes, stuff like that. That's how he's getting his Ks.
That's insane. It's 6.3.
I know. So the thief can maybe steal one more good start for you against the Nationals. Mm. Maybe. But he's a yellow for me. That's such a volatile play.
Yeah, I can't risk that. I'm gonna say Chris Bassett's a start against the Mariners.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Vince Velasquez, it's Tampa Bay.
He's in the yellow tier, but I mean, he can give you strikeouts if you need it.
Yeah, I think he's appropriately placed on that yellow tier. Mitch Keller going against Cleveland.
Kind of interesting.
I'm doing it.
Yeah?
I'm doing it.
Well, okay, so it was about 95 on his fastball last time, which is good. He's not getting a ton of pitches yet. He's not up to like 90 or so.
No, he's not, but he's no hitting on what he's doing.
Yeah, all right, there you go. He had a really nice performance last time with no hits, but his slider curveball are not quite there yet. And I'm a little scared.
I want to take a look.
Have him as a yellow there, by the way.
Yeah, you have him as a yellow, but I don't think he was that low on that yellow list. Yeah,
he was the third one down. It was Heaney, Turnbull, Keller. Like, I could have made them all neutrals, but yeah, it's still very volatile. I don't want to. I'd rather people not start guys than start them and be burned.
Yeah, play it safe, I guess. I don't know. I'm into it. Mm-hmm. I'm not into Luis Patino at San Francisco.
He's not gonna actually get innings.
He's gonna just be like two innings,
yeah,
right?
It's and a
be
bullpen done. Stuff. I mean, he pitched 1.2, I think, over the weekend, covering for Clevinger.
Mm. So Kikuchi is up next, then. And where do you have Kikuchi? You have Kikuchi. He is the fourth below Mitch Keller in the yellow tier at Oakland.
Yeah. So he wasn't that good last time.
No.
And it's so interesting. He's so close, I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's able to get four seamers up, and then he can get the whiffs on his cutter, but you don't know if you're going to get that.
Once again, more volatility there, so it's kind of tough to be able to invest in that. The last three all sits for me: Anderson, Samardzija, and Ponce de Leon against San Diego both times in a doubleheader, and the Brewers. You're saying Ponce de Leon is a start?
Have you realized what Ponce de Leon has been doing?
No, what has he been doing?
Last two starts have been like ridiculous. His four seamer dominance has been there. Elevating a ton. Actually, I even said he started on Tuesday and then Friday last week.
Mm-hmm.
He had to because of Dakota Hudson, I believe. And I was like, oh, no. Friday, we're sitting him. He's not going to go like more than 60 pitches because he just 3 days rest. No, he threw like 88. And he struck out, what, like eight batters or something like that in five innings?
Nine.
And his curveball was there for strikes. And Ponce de Leon is not someone known to have any secondary pitches. Kind of like Freddy Peralta in this way.
Mm.
Like, it's a lot of four seamers up. But he doesn't have a secondary pitch to throw for strikes to match with it. He did last time. It's kind of like, what is this? This is kind of amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. He's given up a home run every single start.
It's the Brewers.
Yeah, it's the Brewers, who I think have been turning it on a little bit recently, and they're also playing to get into the playoffs. They're 26-26, I think.
I have him as a neutral.
That's fine. I just don't trust a guy who gives up a home run literally every single start. Literally every single start. Like, I'm not exaggerating. Every single start he's getting a home run.
That's very fair.
With a 5.92 FIP.
You would have liked the SP Roundup headline.
What was it?
The Great Leon.
The Great Leon? God. Yeah, I don't know. To me, I'm not in love with it.
I get it. I totally understand. I mean, okay, so I have Tyler Molly and the aforementioned Sensatella in there.
Yeah.
So do you have, you know, would you
I'd switch Molly. I'd put Molly above Ponce de Leon. I guess maybe I can hear an argument against it because of that Minnesota start.
Right.
And then, yeah, Ponce de Leon has much more K upside, as we've seen recently. So you got to put him above Sensatella.
Yeah. But, I mean, the ratio is better for Sensatella.
Yeah, that's true.
It's weird. They're all neutral. There it is.
Go Dobnak, Ponce de Leon. There's your 1-2 sure. punch.
Would you be starting Ian Anderson?
Would I be against whom?
Against the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Where was that?
He's at number nine, the leader of the Blues for me.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I just skipped over him because I was like, yeah, I'm going to start him. All right. Moving into Saturday. Some of these are pretty easy. Madison Bumgarner, Kyle Wright, both sits against Colorado and Boston.
Say that one more time. Madison Bumgarner is against the Rockies.
I just don't trust him.
He just did all right. I know. I don't trust either. He's a yellow. Okay. Mm.
That's a sit.
He's like, I'm trying to phrase this. I don't know. I call it shoving. He shoved five innings.
Mm.
It's kind of like brute forcing his way with his mediocre stuff and forcing, like, I don't know, just five innings of something.
Yeah.
Like, that's the imagery I get.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Just kind of like grinding through it.
Yeah, yeah. He had seven Ks, though.
That's impressive.
I know. Now he gets a better matchup.
That's just, well, you know what? Here, it's Saturday. Depends on what you need. We can finally use that excuse.
There you go. It's a Saturday. Yeah, a lot of these yellows are interesting. So
Kyle Wright, what was he?
Kyle Wright just had his best start. He's 25th. He's underneath Baumgartner. He's going against the Red Sox. He just had his best start.
That is interesting. The next guy, I'll switch it back and forth. Houck is yellow despite that last start. Tanner Houck,
yeah. I mean, you're thinking it should be higher.
Yeah.
Well, it's against the Braves, and Tanner Houck is not that good. It was very lucky what he just did. I'm not a big believer in everything he's doing.
What was it about him that you like didn't really
do? It was super BABIP heavy. And he didn't throw, it wasn't like you can do that and then you induce a lot of O swing and you get guys to chase. Like, that wasn't the start. I feel like he got super fortunate and left a lot of mistake pitches out there.
So you're telling me that a 77 BABIP in the start is bad?
Yeah, you don't want to buy that.
And his first two starts, the sample's pathetically small, but still a 136 BABIP in those first two starts. How about, I'm surprised you didn't text me about this, I'm actually a little bit offended, John Means.
Oh, man.
What a start yesterday.
Yeah, you messaged me. Oh, I thought I messaged back. I guess I didn't.
No, I didn't. Did you?
I'm so sorry.
I don't even know. Did I message you? Oh, no, I messaged
you. You messaged me. Yeah.
Oh, maybe I did. Yeah. So he went up. I don't remember whatsoever. No memory.
I live with him this morning.
What a start. Yeah. That was what we were waiting for, right?
I had so many different ways to go with the roundup. Mm. Okay. I mean, obviously, a means to an end has like been done millions of times.
Of course.
So I went with, means ultra mode.
Okay.
I wanted to try and figure out how to get median in there, but yeah, I couldn't it. Yeah. So whatever. I went with that. Anyway. Okay. Means was throwing like 95 at the beginning, right?
Yep.
And I was like, okay, we're fine with 94.
Yep.
Now it's 93.2, but that's still above like the 92 he had last year.
Yes.
His changeup was the first time being low.
Yeah.
That was finally. I'm not a believer in like the thigh high changeup. I understand like the high stuff, you can steal a lot of strikes if it's coming down, kind of like the old cutters coming down to the zone for call strikes. Sure.
Sure.
But like, no, Means should have his like elite changeup down. He finally had it in the start, which was good. But yeah, he just dominated with four seamers.
He had everything.
16 whiffs on four seamers.
Yeah, it was the most of his career.
Oh my God.
It was unbelievable. He had like a 48% whiff rate in this fastball. It was unreal.
So it was really good.
It was unreal.
So he what does he get here? I don't really care. It's a Jays. I mean, and look, it's just one letter off from the Rays. He's fine.
Even like the last two strikeout to Gaudreau, I believe the last one was a curveball that was just like, that's what I want to see. I want to see that fastball set up so you can do that with your curveball.
Where should I be ranking Means next year?
I don't know. It was like top six too high?
Unless there's another zero?
I mean, I don't know. I think we...
Top six? Why'd you even say six? Why not like five or seven?
Just a three off. I think I would say top 60.
Yeah.
I don't know if I put him top 50 quite yet. Getting a lot of guys back from injury.
Well, that's the thing. So I'm going to stream my process a lot next week, I think. Well, I'm going to try and do a lot of it on Sunday night so Fast can, you can have some help for the podcast Monday night before
better
I put
to
it
have...
out like an hour before we record.
Yeah.
So, but the process is going to be, I'm going to go like roster resource and look at every potential guy for every team for next year. You have to do that because there's so many guys. I mean, if you remember like the fringe lists that we had before we skipped to the, the schedule stuff for the list, like that table
was
its own list.
Yeah.
So it really messes up what the rankings are, not to mention a lot of guys that have fallen on list, but I expect to go back up and vice versa. So there's a lot of weirdness. Mm. Like, would you have Joe Musgrove above Means next year?
I
would say no.
I don't think so, because I do really like Musgrove, and I think I'll have some, he'll be rostered in a few of my teams next year, but I still think that injury history still scares me a little bit with him.
Okay, yeah.
And I think that might be the thing that give. I think he has, I don't know if he necessarily has more upside overall.
Dude, are you joking? Okay. I just want to say this about Musgrove, and we're talking, this is going to be a segue back into this, because he gets the Indians, and that's a start for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Musgrove's CSW on like breaking balls combined.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about one or the other.
Sure.
It's like 50% across his last like 3-4 starts.
Yeah.
Coming back from injury. It's ridiculous. It was like 48% on his slider, then 53% on his curveball yesterday. That takes up 50% of his pitches.
Yeah.
And then he was up to 93.7. Now it has a feeling on his fastball velocity. There's a feeling of 2019. Because remember in September, Musgrove, like, he pushed up his velocity, and we were back in finally in September after like this wishy-washy 5 months of a year that made us excited for this year, a new analytic team, everything like that. And of course, we know how this all went. Are we like doing the same exact routine again next year? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what's kind of scary, and I think that's why I'm trying to break it down to category by category, yeah. Right? So wins is really the most interesting one, right? You can't really project wins anyway, but sure. I do think that the Orioles might have a better team next year than the Pirates just because the Pirates are
that I can buy
bad.
That. Yeah.
So it really comes... So K's I'd give Musgrove.
I mean, Means just had 12.
He just had 12, but that was actually going to be my next question is over under like 3 on 10K games next year for Means.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It wouldn't be shocking to me if Musgrove had like 5 10K games next year. If Means had that, I'd be like, give him the Cy Young.
Well, I mean, that's the funny thing about Means, though, is that we've always treated him like a command pitcher.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of not what he's been.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he didn't. I mean, yeah. I think he changed that. Four seam a lot, right?
Right.
So the active spin goes up, the spin rate goes up, the velocity
and
goes up.
It's been out of control.
And it's been out of control.
Right.
So there's this thing that I found out about called proprioception, which is essentially the feel of, like, proprioception is you know where your feet are right now.
Sure,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? You feel where they are. And that could be one of the reasons why Means didn't have command of the pitch. He had the increased spin rate. He knew how to make the tweaks to make it better, but he didn't have, quote unquote, the feel for the pitch, the ability to do it. And I think that's why we saw him take a few ticks down on the velocity, try and get the feel back a little bit. So that's I possible, think. If we can see an offseason where if he says, oh man, I've got the 96 and I've got the feel for it and I can put it where I want to, that's
so
really
exciting.
Good.
I'm just so excited for that possibility.
Yeah, it'll be curious. I'm excited to see. Yeah, it's an exciting time for pitching in Baltimore, which is something I didn't think I would ever say.
Right. I will say this. The more and more I do the list in general, I find myself being more conservative than I am being, you know, like I need to make those picks of like, oh, look who's at 20 or something like that, right? I mean, it did mean that I ranked Gallen lower than I wanted to, but whatever. I think that's the wiser play to do it. And I certainly don't always listen to it, you know, generally like, you know, putting Boyd in the 40s and
sure.
with Musgrove and everything and Weaver and stuff like that. But I find myself trying to be like, no, Nick, like this guy has been constantly good and we have to reward this. And that's much more of a valuable thing than maybe getting that one guy
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
So it means that Musgrove and John Means are going to be pushed back, I think, a little bit more than people will want to see next week, but we'll see. It's all about defining where the cliff is of like, okay, these are the stable guys, and once I lose that, then I'm like, let's just throw everything at the dartboard.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see where he ends up after all your analysis. I know someone who isn't going to be in the top 15, and that's John Lester, who is a sit against the White Sox.
Yeah, no.
Dane Dunning,
I think he's a start. I mean, it's middling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Dane Dunning is as good as a lot of people think he is.
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily people really think
Dunning. A lot of people are in on Dunning.
Really?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I think he's fine, but and he has moments of bliss. But I
find myself, so.
I say that a lot.
I hope he has a joyous
moments
life.
Of bliss. Well, I mean, that's just like, you know, that's a little... It's like the the Matrix spaceship going up above the clouds for a moment in that terrible third movie and then coming back down.
I blocked that movie.
Yeah, right. But anyway, right, he gets the Cubs. I think that's fine.
Yeah, I have him as a start. I do have Boyd as a sit against Kansas City. I just don't.
That's cherry bomb.
Oh, God. Yeah. Carlos Hernandez is a sit against Detroit. Tony Gonsolin against the Angels. That's a start for me.
It's the first blue. Because
that's the very first blue?
That's the very first blue. Gonsolin's kind of weird.
Mm.
And Dodgeritis is still a thing. I legitimately believe if Gonsolin this year was, you know, replaced like Plesac or something on the Indians, he would be like a top 25 starter, top 30 starter.
Really?
Well, I mean, he's just proved it over this year of how effective he's been. But the Dodgers mess him around a bit and it's really annoying.
It is annoying, but then who knows? Maybe, I don't know. There's no excuse for
Dodgeritis. But it wasn't there to start to go last start. It was more back. He's fine. He's good. You want him against the Angels.
Trevor Rogers is a sit for me against the Yankees.
Yeah, he's a red.
Yeah. Pineda against the Reds.
That's a blue. He's the last blue, but Pineda is more volatile than we'd like, but he's not been, which is great, but it doesn't mean he isn't going to, you know, he doesn't have risk here, but it's only one start left. Let's just... cross our fingers that he doesn't show up, and then we can debate in the wintertime while I'm not taking Pineda with the 45th starter off the board.
I'm not looking forward to that offseason conversation either. Mike Minor is a start for me against the Mariners.
Yes, against the Mariners. And it's kind of weird. He actually just had a really good start with this changeup in the middle. Like, it was actually there, four-seamer changeup, and then he allows a ground slam in the sixth inning and ruins everything. It's like one of the best starts I've seen from Mike Minor in the entire season.
That's good to hear that, though, because, you know.
Definitely starting against the Mariners.
That carrying over.
Right.
Adonis Medina going against the Rays is a sit for me.
Yeah, no.
Joe Musgrove is a start for me against Cleveland.
Yep.
What are you going to do about Sheffield and Dunn against Oakland?
So Sheffield is a neutral. Mm-hmm. I prefer him over Dunn.
Okay.
Sheffield's kind of coming into a sinker. He's throwing a little bit more of high ones, and his changeup has been better. Like, his changeup goes in and out. Slider is constantly good enough. So I think that's a neutral one against the A's. Justin Dunn, I'm not really a fan. I really love his stuff.
Okay. Cueto is a sit against San Diego. Mm-hmm. Wainwright start against Milwaukee.
Yeah, he's a green. Wainwright has been so good.
He's been killing
it. He was the feature on this. I was like, you know what? We need to give Wainwright something.
It is pretty amazing.
Crazy.
I know. It is. It's cool.
Like, it's the first season he's ever had a double-digit swing strike rate.
Is it really? Ever?
Yeah, ever.
Good for him.
Right?
But awful for Cardinals fans, because it probably means they're going to give him another one-year contract.
Yeah, we were so upset. I know. We're like, oh, just give us Alex Reyes. Give us anyone else.
Anyone. Anyone. Because at that point, it was like Carlos Martinez was going to be the closer. Right, and we're like, yeah, really? Like, oh, my God. Because I'm still bitter when they sent down Flaherty because of him originally. Oh,
yeah, right.
Tywin Walker is a start against the Orioles. He's been killing it. He's been killing it on the Blue Jays.
No. Okay, so Tywin Walker has not been killing it.
For the Blue Jays, he has like a 1.3 ERA.
Against the Yankees, he had two questionable starts last time out.
Let me see what his ERA is against, since he's been a Blue Jay.
He's not locked in right now. He just played against the Phillies and he did well. 903. All right. This is, oh man, I'm supposed to stall for you.
A 2.08 ERA since he's been a member of the Blue Jays. Okay. But guess what his FIP is?
It's like 5.
It's 5.03.
Yeah, exactly. He had a start against the Yankees where he let 7 runs but 1 earned. I mean, all right.
That's so
and then
funny.
The previous one before that was 5 walks.
Yep, against
the 2
Yankees.
Hits, but no earned runs. Like, I mean, sure, he did well against the Phillies, and I like that he did that, but it wasn't this amazing start that with his stuff. 8 strikeouts, 6 earned, 6 innings of 1 earned run. Okay. That's an amazing start, not necessarily from his repertoire. So it's a neutral.
It's a neutral. I'll tell you who is not a neutral, and that's the last one we're going to talk about for this day, and that's Anibal Sanchez. You are not starting him against the Mets.
No, but I am starting Jaron Montgomery against the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, I'm all about that as well. Sunday, the final day, it's the second start for Caleb Smith. I say see how he does tomorrow night. If his pitch count is up, then I'm a little bit more interested against Colorado.
It should be. Honestly, I think you should be all right with this one for the most part. It's still yellow because maybe his command isn't there, but this is a better yellow than some of the other ones.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I can get behind that. Waskari Noah.
I hope you got that. I don't know. I'm not trying.
Waskari
no.
Noah
Absolutely
is definitely a no. He's in the red. Aiken against Toronto.
That's a start.
It's a start for me as well. Pavetta is a sit. Alzolay, once again, sits. Now, Kyle Freeland, we talked about him in the beginning. If you're going to go for the full 2 starts, I don't really have as much of a problem against Arizona.
This is a blue.
Yeah, it's a blue.
He's a surprise Toby. He just happens to have cores with him.
Yeah. I don't really care what Raylo does on Tuesday. I'm not starting him against the Cubs because there's no consistency there. Tarik Skubal against Kansas City.
Yeah, so that's a yellow. I can see him being a neutral. You don't know what you're going to get. You really don't.
Yeah.
His secondary stuff hasn't really been any sort of consistent, so it's weird. But I get it. It's the Royals. It's your last day of the year. And
it's upside.
I have these yellow guys here. I don't even have a neutral tier. There's Tariq and Gonzalez and Smiley and mm-hmm. Smith and Anderson and Shoemaker. And I get, if you're looking for Sunday, this is the group that you want to take chances on.
Or, to be honest, if people are still sleeping on Keegan Aiken and he hasn't been streamed, then go for him.
Right. Oh, yeah. He's a blue. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. A lot of people I don't know what his ownage is, but I doubt it's huge. Framber Valdez is a start against Texas. Brady Singer is a start against Detroit. Dylan Bundy. How are you going to do the last start of the year against the Dodgers?
He's going to kill it.
I hope so. For my sanity.
Oh, actually. Okay. Hold on. So if you want to draft Dylan Bundy next year.
Oh, man.
You might want a bad one.
Might want to what? Yeah, you definitely want a bad one to inflate that ERA or whatever.
You just have to stay disciplined because then it's very easy at the end to talk about the overall numbers and include that last start.
Where the hell is he going to be in the top 50, top 100 next year?
I'm going to tell you this. I know it's very disappointing to hear, but I'm going to probably be under the consensus.
You're going to be under the consensus. You're going to expect a lot of regression next year from Dylan Bundy.
More so than I think the consensus is.
More so. Okay, so next year, will Dylan Bundy be... will he have a plus 4 ERA?
No.
He'll have a high 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I'm kind of seeing.
A high 3 ERA. So what are we thinking in terms of K rate?
He's going to drive you nuts as an owner. That's what I think. That he's going to be a bit of a hipster.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one, the headache inducing pitchers that stifled the entire roster? Yep. In case, I was trying to remember what the first 2 things were.
Those are so good.
So that's a, you know, I feel like Dylan Bundy's going to do that.
I think I'm very happy that he won't have to play the NL West again. And that'll be really nice.
Well, he's a free agent, right?
No, I think he's with the Angels again next year.
Again? Man, like, when does he hit a free agency? He's been like controlled for so long.
2022. So he has one more year.
Okay. All right.
As an Angel.
Okay.
So he'll get the AL West, which obviously isn't fantastic because he's going to get, you know, the A's.
The Astros. Yeah, sure. That's still fine.
But he also gets the Rangers.
Right.
And he also gets the Mariners.
Yep.
Which he took advantage of a bunch this year. And then he's not going to get the NL West like he did this year.
Sure.
So in terms of opponents, it's probably a step in the right direction.
That's certainly fair. Look, you have like this small season of this kind of break. I think in general, I think I'm going to be a little more down on breakouts from 2020. Sure. And I can imagine the consensus ignoring that more. But watch me. I'll be like ahead of Bundy and everyone else too.
Over under 3.8 ERA for Bundy next year.
That's about right though.
Okay.
I want to be wrong, man. I want this to be like Bundy is just amazing.
There's no way. I mean, he's got, even with the 270 FIP, like, listen, I love what he did. I had a pleasure every start. I loved watching.
Right, yeah.
But I just, even I'm like,
right, you feel the anxiety.
I feel the anxiety. I guess when I try and be as objective about it as possible, it's like, okay, he really does have enough in his pitch. Like, he has that fastball or that ground ball, that sinker to be able to get outs if he gets behind in the count. He really does have, like, two pitches that are really good breaking pitches that if he doesn't have the feel for one, he can go to the other. Like, I do love that he's, like, capital P pitching. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too... Maybe my Orioles brain is too turned on, maybe.
His slider has gone in and out, and that's
the
annoying
part. But then the curveball's there. Yeah. And then he still has the changeup.
Well, the changeup has been a nice surprise. Because
we knew that changeup.
Well, no, that changeup has been, but it wasn't earlier on. It's like it's been this whole like mixing pot. Like it hasn't been this clear blueprint that has stuck around through the year. Mm. You know, his changeup wasn't there early, but a slider was, and the slider speaks, but the changeup shows, and then like it goes back and forth every time. And that's the I think that's the crux of why I'm cautious with it, because we haven't seen he's doing this and he gets success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that kind of straight path. So.
But we did. We saw the beginning of the year. He's increased his slider usage and he gets success.
Yes, his secondary usage. Uh-huh. Overall secondary usage has gone up.
Yeah.
While his fastballs have been like 40% or lower, which is correct. But it's not like the same blueprint, if that makes sense. And it's kind of been like mix match.
Yeah, I can see that. Even the first pitch curveballs have fluctuated start by start. And yeah, I can see that. All right, Seth Lugo, start against Washington?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Michael King, starter sit against Miami. No.
So this is like, it's supposed to be Cole, but yeah, exactly.
So you don't take that risk. Montas against Seattle.
This is a better one. That's a green for me.
Yeah, I guess.
There's no way if you have Montas, you're going to send him against Seattle.
Montas or Wheeler?
I'm going to go Wheeler.
Yeah, me too. Marco Gonzalez against Oakland.
Marco Gonzalez has been like stupid good, and it's really annoying, and I still don't want to start him against the A's.
No, do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. I mean, he's obviously not the best upside play, but I think you got to do it.
I don't buy it.
I hate that Drew Smiley's last starts against San Diego because, as we said, there's a lot of K upside
there.
Much,
and that'll also be more stretched out.
Yeah. And that's a tough one for me. I mean, but there is a good point of like San Diego's about to play like 15 games in 3 days when the playoffs start, and it's Sunday, and maybe it's just like no one is starting.
That's a really good point.
So that could be really nice for Drew Smiley, but
he's in my top 100.
Is he?
Of course. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. There's enough upside. Obviously, you've seen that. Austin Gomber's a sit against Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
Shoemaker, a start against Baltimore.
We don't know what we're going to get. I mean, I call him the cobbler, and he's going today. We don't know what we're going to see from him. He was surprisingly a decent CSW, like a Toby guy.
Sure.
And then he got hurt, and now we're hoping that he's okay.
Last but not least, Austin Voth. He's going up against the Mets. Is that a start? Yeah, neither am I.
Is that it, Fast?
That's it.
No way.
That's it. We've gone through
every single one. There you go. Your season is over now. We just decided exactly how it's going to go.
You won a championship. Congratulations.
Well, I mean, Fast, this is our last OTC of the year. I mean, next week we'll have our rankings one, but then it's actually going to be a little bit slower between them.
Yep.
And, you know, it's, look at that, another year.
Another year. But a lot of good stuff to come with the playoffs. I won't even treat it as another year yet because we're going to have so much good stuff for the playoffs.
Absolutely.
I will say Dane Dunning, 3 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks against the Indians.
Okay.
Aaron Civale, 3 innings pitched, 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks.
That's our boy.
Against the White Sox.
That's our Civale, man.
I love it.
Dylan Bundy.
What is he doing?
300 runs in 5 innings and 5 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks.
Against whom?
Got a win against the Rangers earlier today. Well, Kyle Gibson got rocked. 7 earned runs.
Did Bundy get the...
He got the win.
He didn't get the quality start. Just 3 Ks against the Rangers. Got to be able to do better than that. Anibal Sanchez, doesn't really matter. 3... no earned runs, but 3 walks, 3 Ks. 1 hit against... That's actually very impressive. Zach Wheeler, 3 walks, 5 Ks, 1 earned run, 2 runs, 2 2/3. Slow start.
Yeah, no.
All right, Nick, that is going to do it for episode 210 of On the Corner, the official pitcherless.com podcast. I'm your host, Alex Fast.
And I'm Nick Pollock. And we'll talk to you guys next week.